Greetings, pilgrims. It's Pastor Bob on this Saturday, February 6th, broadcasting from the Parsonage in Arthur, Illinois. This is your New Year launching pad daily devotion, featuring summaries of homilies by Michael Casey and his book, Balaam's Donkey. And we are preparing here to have a 10 minutes or so of a deep spiritual experience. So we need to open ourselves up for that. So we need to breathe. Remember that breath that we take right there is the definition of life. That very breath. Without that breath, there is no human life. But with that breath, everything is open to us. So let's praise that breath. Let's treasure it. And let's let it settle our soul and enlighten our spirit. We come to the devotion today listening to the monks of the Abbey of St. Ottilien in Germany singing their Gregorian chants. We have the hot pink candle going, and we have rooibos and chamomile tea. That's such a sweet, gentle tea. Unique indeed, but very calming and refreshing. Well, I'll go ahead and tell you the news about tomorrow's service, and I'll remind you after this, and then a little bit later today, we'll be sending out another email. And if you're on text, you'll probably get a text too. But tomorrow's worship service at Vine Street Christian Church is going to be Facebook Live only. No in-person worshiping. So the sanctuary will not be open to congregants. Everything will be on Facebook Live. And just the extremely essential workers will be at church tomorrow to bring you that service. And then myself included as a non-essential worker, but I'm going to join him anyway, have a little worship time with you. But no in-person service tomorrow. We don't want folks getting out in the conditions we're expecting or even have to think about it. And so we're just going to go Facebook Live only tomorrow. All right. Well, let's get to our devotion today. It's called Sin. About time we got to that, isn't it? This is Sin by Michael Casey. In our Sunday liturgy, the word sin seems to be used more often in the common texts than God or Jesus. This being the case, it is important that we have an accurate understanding of what the term implies. The danger is that we confuse psychology and theology. When the liturgy speaks of sin, it is referring to the impaired state of our relationship with God. Sin refers to the impaired state of our relationship with God. This is not to be identified with our feelings of guilt, failure, or low self-worth. Whether there is a basis in reality for these feelings may be a moot point, but they certainly cannot be taken as an indication of how things stand between us and God. St. Paul is quite blunt on this matter. He says, "All have sinned and fallen short of God's glory." For the Christian, a sense of sin is not a matter of abasement, self-rejection, or self-hatred. Our tendency to view all issues in terms of morality makes us think that sinners are simply those who have behaved badly. But in reality, a sense of sin is simply the result of looking in the mirror of life and saying this, "I am not God. I am not God. I am imperfect, because I am a created being still in the process of growth. I am a sinner in that I fall short of what God intends me to become. Sometimes through weakness or ignorance, but sometimes through willful resistance to God's plan. But the story has not ended yet. To continue, taking a developmental view of sin means that when we who may perhaps live relatively blameless lives profess ourselves to be sinners, we are not exaggerating our moral deficiencies, but simply affirming that we exist in a state of dependence on God's creative mercy. We find the courage to make this assertion because we have had some sort of direct experience of God's goodness and kindness, and have come to the realization that although sinful behavior may distance us from God, it does not distance God from us. To repeat that, we find the courage to make this assertion that we are sinners because we have had some sort of direct experience of God's goodness and kindness, and have come to the realization that although sinful behavior may distance us from God, it does not distance God from us. We are not surprised or depressed by our failures, but see in them the occasion for a more complete reliance on the recuperative intervention of God. To say, "I am a sinner," is simply to affirm that I depend totally on God for my ultimate salvation. Amen. Friends, it is so crucial in our walk of faith that we can come to an understanding of sin, not as bad behavior, not as a personal shortcoming, not as something to be guilty about, but simply part of our created self as we journey closer and closer to God. And as Michael Casey said, as we come to experience and know God, we realize that labeling ourselves a sinner is what opens the door to let God fully in and embrace God because of our sinfulness, so that we can indeed surrender our life to God and know that redemption is waiting. I have a special little poem today for us. It's by Paul Zimmer. Not a well-known poet, born in Canton, Ohio. Paul Zimmer wrote this little poem called "Lester Tells of Wanda and the Big Snow." Thought it would be kind of timely. "Lester Tells of Wanda and the Big Snow." It goes like this. Some years back, I worked a strip mine out near Tylersburg. One day it starts to snow, and by 2 we got 3 feet. I says to the foreman, "I'm going home." He says, "Ain't you staying till 5? I says, "I got to see my cows," not telling how Wanda was there at the house. By the time I make it home at 4, another foot is down, and it don't quit until it lays another. Wanda and me for 3 whole days see no one else. We tunneled the drifts and slid right over the barbed wire, laughing at how our heartbeats melted the snow. After a time, the food was gone, and I thought I'd butcher a cow. But then it cleared, and the moon came up as sweet as an apple. Next morning, the plows got through. It made us sad. It don't snow like that no more. Too bad. One more time with Lester Tells of Wanda and the Big Snow. This is Paul Zimmer. Some years back, I worked a strip mine out near Tylersburg. One day it starts to snow, and by 2, we got 3 feet. I says to the foreman, "I'm going home." He says, "Ain't you staying till 5? I says, "I got to see to my cows," not telling how Wanda was there at the house. By the time I make it home at 4, another foot is down, and it don't quit until it lays another. Wanda and me for 3 whole days see no one else. We tunneled the drifts and slid right over the barbed wire, laughing at how our heartbeats melted the snow. After a time, the food was gone, and I thought I'd butcher a cow, but then it cleared and the moon came up as sweet as an apple. Next morning, the plows got through. It made us sad. It don't snow like that no more. Too bad. Let us pray. Loving Father, have mercy on us. We were created by you, redeemed by your Son, and sanctified by your Holy Spirit. Help us to rejoice in the gifts we have received and to look forward to their culmination in heaven. We ask this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our King. Amen. All right, don't forget, no in-person service tomorrow. If you know friends that attend the service, call them. Some may not have email or text, and I want to make sure we reach everybody. But take care of yourself too, because we got some cold weather coming and some snow as well. So I advise just do what Lester and Wanda do. Stay in and let your heartbeat melt the snow. Until tomorrow, amen.